by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Ivare pashute vesa klenia prostevenia astento ladan. Avijo previdio suna pavejuchia siavianusa papetiana magitia zitagen. For my name will still be heard and upon all the face of the earth, says the Lord. My name will still be heard. Yea, the name of Jesus will be echoed from coast to coast, from shore to shore, from the north to the south, to the east and to the west. For before this age is wrapped up, the knowledge of the glory of God, which is the person of Jesus, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And many that have not yet shouted his name will cry his name, will scream his name at the top of their voices, knowing fully well that he is the reason for everything. Yeah, the veil will be taken away, and men will see Jesus. They will see Jesus, and men will glorify God, even in their tens of thousands, even their tens of millions, even in their multitudes, they will glorify. Glorify God for what he wrought in Jesus. For Jesus is the representation of all the blessings of God to humanity. Oh, his name will be heard in the earth. His name will be heralded amongst men, amongst whites, amongst blacks, amongst Hispanics, amongst Arabs. His name will be heard. His name will be heard. His name will be heard, and he will be exalted. But as he's exalted, he will draw men even unto himself. And as he draws them unto himself, they will imbibe his nature and his culture. And then the end will come. When that mass of people have taken up the name, taken up the name, taken up the name as the banner under which they gather, it will happen. It will happen because it has been decreed by the mouth of the Lord, and it shall come to pass, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's just good to celebrate Jesus, you know. We can do that for hours and keep doing it, and I know Jesus will not be angry because he's the reason for everything. When you hear doctrine, it's just another way of saying Jesus. When you hear law, it's just another way of saying Jesus. When you say prophecy, it's like they said, the spirit of, they say the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So Jesus is everything. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is everything. He's everything. He's everything. We give God praise for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for another opportunity to gather on Sunday like this. Let's have a word of prayer. Father and our God, we are grateful. We are very grateful. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy over us as a people. Thank you for how you have led us individually and as a house to this glorious fountain, this glorious fountain, this fountain of life that is springing up unto salvation. We thank you. We thank you because you have not left us without the guide, the Holy Ghost. And we thank you because you have brought us to this fountain that we may drink, how we may drink. We thank you for our parents, those who you have used, oh God, to heal out this fountain. Those who you have raised to serve us this fountain. Those who you have raised, oh God, to usher us, even to coordinate our movements around this pasture. We are grateful. It is your grace, our Lord Jesus. Therefore, I align under that grace, the grace that is upon you, that you pass through our daddy, Reverend Kade Ugoke, even to your servant, our daddy, Emeka Ikuchukwu. I come under that grace in the name of Jesus. That grace that has raised this house, that grace that has blessed this house, that grace that has seen to this house standing where it's standing, I align under that grace. And I pray that this grace will bless us this morning in the name of Jesus. You will reach out to us through this grace, Lord Jesus. You will touch each and every one of us. Let everyone be helped. Let every heart be encouraged. Let every eye, O God, be granted more sight. Let every foot, oh God, be granted a grace to walk better in the name of Jesus. That your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, our Father and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55. I believe it will come out in the course of teaching by God's grace, or exhortation rather. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm reading from verse 6, reading 6 to 10, or 6 to 9 rather. Isaiah 55 from verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." So our seeking is time bound. That word "while" speaks of time. There's a time that he will not be found. And so every opportunity we have to court things around life, to labor in the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, is a time well spent. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." It says, "Call ye upon him while he is near." Verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." Verse 9, last verse. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, thank God that his ways are higher than our ways. Aren't we grateful? If his ways were lower than our ways, we are done for. Because that means there's no way to outthink or outwalk what has troubled us. So he gave us this word of comfort, showing us that actually there is a higher conversation, that's way, and there's a higher thinking pattern. You know, thinking patterns or thought processes give birth to ways. You don't come into a way without first trapping the thoughts. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, thoughts are captured in doctrine. The reason why we must give attention to doctrine is that if we don't give attention to doctrine, we will never know how we should walk. And if we don't know how we should walk, we remain where we are. And if you remain where you are, remember particularly for a church in the wilderness, if you remain where you are, wild beasts will catch up with you. So if they do not bring to us the thoughts for migration or the thoughts for movement, we are of all men most miserable. Not just miserable, we are in a very precarious situation. But the Lord in his mercy showed us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. That verse 9 says, my thoughts are higher. And it's a blessing. Because his thoughts give birth to ways. Let's open to Proverbs, very popular verse. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16, 25. So Jesus, in that, we know it's Jesus talking. You know, the Old Testament, it's good for us to know that the Old Testament, according to 1 Peter, 2 Peter, made us understand that the whole Old Testament was written under the auspices of the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ was what came upon the prophets, and they were able to speak for this word. So when Isaiah was speaking, he was speaking on the searching what, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11, says searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I think verse 10 told us who those them were, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come to you. Now, so we see that what was upon Isaiah when he began to prophesy was the Spirit of Christ. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, that Spirit of Christ gave birth to the Torah. That's why when Jesus was walking upon the face of the earth, about age 12, when he got into the temple, he was speaking things that the men were, the doctors of the law were being wowed out. Wow, because by age 12, we've been taught that Jesus was 12 years old in the spirit. And by 12 years old in the spirit, he had already courted so much of the thoughts of Christ that the Old Testament was not strange to him. Ah, he said, this is just describing what my father told me when I was 2. Ah, that's what he told me when I was 4. That's what he told me when I was 7. Ah, that's what he just told me when I clocked 10. So the whole Old Testament was just speaking about Christ's formation. So anytime they spoke, of things pertaining to Christ. Now, I said that to say, go back to, thank you, Proverbs 16:25. Said, there's a way that seemeth right. You know, we read in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, as high as the heavens are, from the earth, so are my ways that your ways. That's separation. There's a separation. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I know he put ways first, but every thought gives birth to a way. Thoughts give birth to ways. Before you can walk in a way, you must have trapped a thought. Now, this Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. We are all walking in a way. Before you got born again, you were walking in a way. You were walking in a manner, or to put it in a modern day parlance, you had a conversation. You had a manner of life. You had a way of operating. You had a frame of reference. You had a judgment pattern. You had an existence that could be described by the scripture as a way that seemeth right unto a man. Nobody does what he thinks is wrong, normally. Even if you do what you think is wrong, you do it for the right reasons in your mind. Why do I seek vengeance? Because I believe that an injustice was done to me. So even though I may do something wrong, for example, I believe I'm doing something for a right reason. That's why the Bible says that the way that seemeth right, nobody naturally would do what he thinks is wrong. Except a criminal. But the criminal will also say, I'm hungry. So it's better for me to, instead of stab, let me go and steal. So he has a right reason, quote unquote, for doing a wrong thing. The point I'm trying to make is that nobody in his right frame of mind will do what he feels is wrong. There's what he feels is right. And what you feel is right is according to the thoughts that you caught. Because the thoughts that you caught gave you a judgment pattern that will be where you live from. So when Jesus, when God said in Isaiah 55, he said, let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He said, what gave birth to that way that was right in that man was actually a thought. A kind of thinking that Bible called unrighteous. But no man will think that his thought is unrighteous. Every man thinks his thoughts are right. Let's say amen. Nobody in his right frame of mind thinks that he you know, even the best of us, especially the best of us, you know, there are some people that believe that they are so, there's one thought that had been coming to my mind recently around spiritual. They say, I'm so spiritual that I cannot deal with your carnality. It's a paradox. I'm so spiritual that your carnality is offensive to me, you know. Now, that could be somebody's righteousness, you know. That's what religion teaches. Religion has hewn out certain levels of righteousness or right standings that have all concluded man in a particular sphere, because if man doesn't rise above it, man will be stuck in a particular thinking pattern. Now let's go back to that Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 16:25. It says, the end of that way that seems right unto man is the way are the ways of death. When Adam ate the fruit in the garden as a result of the temptation that came to Eve,
If you check everything that Satan told Adam, he never told him anything about Satan. He never told him anything about anything outside of himself. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3. He said to the woman, Genesis chapter 3 verse 4, I'm building something. Daddy started a thought last week. I just want to connect a portion of it. It says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Who's that? That's you. That's the man. It says, for God knows that in the day you, who, the man, eats the fruit, what will happen to him? His eyes will do what? His eyes will what? And the man will be what? Knowing what? Now, is Satan mentioned here at all? Satan was not, when the point, the issue is this, when the enemy wanted to kickstart man into the ways of death, he did not introduce himself. He introduced man to himself. He made man's focus. Do you get? Everything that was promised to her as a result of the fruit were things that were beneficial to her. There's nothing concerning devil in all that. Did he say anything about after that, I will be your Lord, I'll be feeding you with thoughts? No. All he told her was that her eyes will be open. She will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Everything was around the way of man. So what gave birth to what we call the ways of man was actually the devil. Now, as many that have not been free from the ways of man, you see, one thing about the company of when we come into this, the conference or the environment of fervent charity, what they are actually after are the ways of man. If you do charity very well, you'll find that you are being de-emphasized. Have you noticed it? Every time you have a commandment of charity, it's as if you are disappearing. Have you found it? Just look at the one that I described yesterday. You have an opportunity. I have an opportunity. And then charity tells me to step back so that you can get that opportunity. That does not make sense to the righteousness of man. No. Because man must put himself first. Even with all sense of righteousness, if I don't get the opportunity, how would I be able to bless other people? Righteous stand of man. So anytime they bring you thoughts around charity, is to remove you from the scene. Why must I disappear? What was in John the Baptist's mind that was able to tap by revelation that he said, he must increase and I must decrease? Why? No man wants to decrease. If you want to decrease here, let's raise your hand. Upon all the labor that our pastor is laboring over you, you don't also want to increase. But you know what I mean. Nobody wants to go down. Nobody wants to disappear. Nobody wants not to have preeminence. All of us want preeminence. Don't lie that you don't want preeminence. I don't want to. It's a lie. The first person you should not lie to is yourself. You want preeminence. Everybody, where did that statement come from? Go where you are celebrated. It's for preeminence. When you are celebrated, it's a form of preeminence. Everybody likes you. Can we celebrate Pastor TJ in the house? Cha, 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 cha. No, wait, oh, it's an example. Cha, 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 cha. But really, he loves that. How you will know you love it is the day they celebrate somebody who you feel is your contemporary, and then you are not celebrated. Then you know that truly you like preeminence. Now that preeminence is way of man. You see, where you have to be able to, in wisdom, connect how charity will deliver you from that evil. When they say charity, 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 work in charity, they are gunning for something. They are gunning for the seat of Satan's introduction of his life to man. When Satan wanted to introduce himself, his life to man, he never spoke of himself. It's a high cherubic sense. He presented man to man. Man saw himself. See what Eve's response. In verse 6, that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. We are building a thought. And when the woman saw, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, who was going to eat it? Is it devil? Who was going to eat the fruit? She saw it was good for food. For who? For her. And it was a tree that was pleasant to the eyes. Who was looking at it? And a tree desired to make one wise. Who is the one? It's man. What happened? She took the fruit. So what inspired her to take that fruit was what we call way of man. Satan is very, very bad. If he came and told you, see, the day you eat this fruit, I will hijack this earth from you. I will bring in sickness and disease. And by before you know it, men will be marrying donkeys. He probably would not ask. He was, no now. But you see, anytime they want to hoodwink or want to take virtue from man, they present man to man. God does not present man to man. God presents himself. He brings himself. Because he is the reason for the creation. So when we read in Sunday school, thank God for today's Sunday school. When we read in Sunday school, Paul was telling Timothy, you know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. My purpose is to disappear. Any doctrine I'm preaching that emphasizes man, comma. And that's why I said, by your fruits you shall know them. Check it. Adele was Pastor Eward that said it's not me. I'm just saying what he said. That somebody was preaching fellowship, and that fellowship became estate, real estate. How do you connect it? You check the end of that conversation. It came back to man. That's why Jesus said, if in this life only, because what man knows is this life. What ties humanity to this present is what we call ways of man. If you walk in the ways of man, you can be mighty on the earth, but you will be earthy. Not even earthy. You will be not even good earthy. You will be earth of this present. Follow the ways of man to the end. You can be mighty, but your spread will be horizontal. No relevance in the spirit. There's only one person that does not want you to have relevance in the spirit, and it's not God. God wants you to come to his level. God is first of all not earthy. We can't even use heavenly to describe God, because God is higher than the heavens. But we just humble himself and say he's heavenly. So he says, come up and come and reason at my level. It's only Satan that does not want you to reason at his level. Because if you reason at his level, you will see him. You will discern him and say, so what does he do to distract you? Ways of man, ways of man, ways of man, ways of man, ways of man. And he shows them to you. Now you get born again. You think you have been delivered from the ways of man. But I tell you, the ways of man are so deep. They run from the camp. Let me say the one that I know I have liver to say. Let me stop at holy place. The ways of man run from the camp to that vessel. Don't quote me. But I'm saying it's probably more, but let me just stop here. The ways of man are so intrinsic that one of the most dangerous things that has happened to humanity is that when they removed journey from our Christianity, when Satan taught man that the end of your Christian, when you get born again, that's the end. That thing, you don't know how demonic that thing is. That thing is how do I describe it? It is ways of man 2.0 upgrade. The man is spirit is now alive. Okay, let us keep that living spirit in an atmosphere that he can even use some spiritual energy to funnel, channel, to push forward the ways of man. So all you know about faith and believing God are things here. Once you come out of things here, you say, faith is faith. Faith is faith. Because the faith that faith is a faith that does not bring you things here. Somebody's not getting me. Any gospel that emphasizes man and does not place God. Now, God cannot begin to emphasize himself to you in the beginning. He doesn't. He himself knows. You know, the fall of man is still a fall. Man is falling. God followed man to where his depths. And God began to speak our language, some language that he should not even be speaking. He just started speaking our language. I will supply all your needs. Was that Adam's issue? That was never Adam's issue. It was not a thought in Adam's heaven. But because of where we've fallen to, if they don't say it, he knows he won't climb. And that's the lovingness of a father, the tolerance of a father. He's willing to follow us to certain depths. No matter, as long as the person has not touched second death, I can get him. I will follow him down there. I will speak goo goo ga. You know where you talk to a baby? Goo goo ga ga. Goo goo gua. Gua gua. Gua gua gua. You see gua gua. You want to tell that baby all the days of his life? No. If all they told you was goo goo gua gua till now, you'll be the most useless person. Even gospel you can't learn. So they'll tell you goo goo ga 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 for a couple of months. They say, daddy, daddy, daddy. Is he speaking? He's coming up. Before you know it, sentences. He's came to your depth. He came to that depth of where we fell to bring us out of that conversation. I just imagine what kind of thoughts was Adam caught in after the fall in repentance. I tell you, even Cain, the thoughts that Cain was caught in are higher than the thoughts that man is caught in now. so-called born-again man. Though Cain was, in his mind, he was turned against it. He said, I'm not going to follow this. But there were certain thoughts that Cain could think that we probably cannot even yet think. That thing pains me. Praise God. Ways of man. To connect it to what Daddy told us last week. Just a short exhortation and we'll be done. So we saw that the end of the ways of man. Now, when ways of man end, if you follow it very well, what you would begin to jam at the end of it are ways of death. Not death. Man must be introduced to a way and work in such an extent that begins to cut ways of death. Ways of death. Ways of death. And that's why Satan did over time to make sure that Cain journeyed. Cain followed the curriculum of those ways of man. What did man do? Man built cities. He made man build city. He made him do all those things. Before you know it, we had to see things on the earth like murder. Before murder, we had to see all manner of vices that were not present before. Why? Because somebody walked the way of man until he broke a veil, and then evil spirits now had influence start telling man what to do. You know what Daddy Rancadio explained to us once, that everything you are doing that is wrong, that is even down to works of the flesh, even down to those works of the flesh, they are resemblances of fallen angels. Those were not installations in man in the beginning. Adam fell. Did Adam fornicate? Something came into the earth after a while, by reason of men journeying on the ways of man, came and opened men up to that world. For you know, bam, that became an option. You know, one of the thoughts I used to sometimes think, who was that unfortunate fellow? I'm so sorry. Unfortunate fellow that trapped the thought of homosexuality. Somebody brought it. He beheld an angel, fallen angel. It sowed him a thought. It birthed a way that's now a movement upon the face of the earth. It came through somebody. Unfortunate. That's how men over time have walked in ways of men to the point that they begin to cut the ways of death. But thank God for Jesus. Say thank God for Jesus. So when Jesus Christ said, I am the way, he is showing you that actually what we do is that we show you how to put it very simply, how to disobey the promptings of the ways of man that are installed in everybody. That is the reason for doctrine. Doctrine brings you a knowledge of the way you should walk, that if they never brought it to you, you will never know how to walk. You can have the best of intentions, but if you lack understanding, you will not know how to walk. And if you don't know how to walk, the Bible says they say men of honor that do not understand say are like beasts that perish. Honor. You are spiritually raised. Your spirit is quickened. You are an honorable man because Christ is honorable. Christ is the honorable man. But if you lack understanding, the Bible says you are no different from a beast that perishes. So it's not enough for the ways of man, for our spirits rather to be quickened. The next port of call is for our souls to now embrace a doctrine or a manner of life, a conversation that's communicated by the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he is the person that first walked that path. Let's say amen. You know, before Jesus, nobody had walked this earth and had fully circumvented all the trappings of sin. Nobody. So let us look at the one that Daddy has been by the gospel over 2-3 weeks, has been touching on. First John chapter 1. Now we know that, let's take with the epistles, the entire Bible really. You know, the Bible is a very interesting storybook, if that is what it is to you. Most of us, our first foray into things Bible. How many of us read my book of Bible stories? Yellow like this, with red lettering. You read that book? No, I was just yabbing myself. I was sitting there. I said, when Pastor Iwai was describing the serpent, I said, have I ever read that thing in Bible? Try to remember. But I remember the book of Bible stories only. That serpent, I remember it. That guy looking. I remember it. It stayed with me. Now, that book probably did go a lot to make us aware of the Bible. It's okay. But if that's the extent of your understanding, it's not good, though. It's not good. So I said that to say, you know, the Bible can be viewed as a story. But basically, you know, the Bible, especially the New Testament and epistles, are not written to people who are not Christ in their spirit. I think we can agree with that thought. The Bible was not written to unbeliever. Unbeliever is dead. If at all there's anything in the Bible for unbeliever, it is belief. So when you see things like, let him that stealeth steal no more. But believers still, yes. Why? Because ways of man still they so plenty. Man will always find his way. Am I lying? If God is taking too much time, you know what to come to say, God, bad, bad. You already know that. You know somebody once said, he said, he was praying for his son. His son had a headache. He said, no, let me pray for it. No, daddy, it will take too long. Give me pastor more. He said, how did he know it will take too long? Because that's already what we think. God, to the waste time. So when God wastes time, there is a way. Anyway is a way. That's a lie. Well, anyway is a way. Depending on if you are not going anywhere. If you are not going anywhere. If there's a place you are going to, there's only one way. And it's Jesus. Let's say amen. Amen. So, when they were writing scriptures, they were writing it to people whose spirits were quickened, but whose souls were still being wooed to cut thoughts of salvation. So, with that understanding, let's read 1 John chapter... Let's start from verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you. That what? God is what? And in him is what? Now, we've crammed that. We probably know it. We probably sang it. And we've been told, yes, don't be quick to conclude yourself in certain places. Say that this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is life. In him is no darkness at all. The second verse, next verse. If we say, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, who is the him? Who is the him? And who is that God? What is that God? That God is what? Okay. So if we say we have fellowship with God, or we fellowship with what? Light. And walk in darkness. He said we do what? We do what? So, it is not in a saying. It's not in like, everlasting life, revelation, I can say it. No, they will check. After you have preached it, how is he walking? Is he walking in light? That light are the ways that are higher than the ways of earth. You see, this darkness is the beginning or the cursor to the ways of man. Not a precursor. That's the ways of man that lead to death. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him in anything and we walk in darkness, say you are lying. Why? Because they are not going to listen to what you say above how you are living. Somebody didn't get that. He said, if we say, all of us, oh yeah, how many of us have fellowship with him? Say it with me. I have fellowship with him. Yes, I have fellowship with him. Oh, don't you? Oh, yes, I have fellowship. We need to have fellowship, communion, fellowship. They will now check your walk. If at the end you land up in real estate as a message, you say you are lying. You don't really have fellowship with me. Because when you hear John and you imbibe John, at the end, you will not be thinking of buying a house. You will be thinking, when will this earth wrap up? When will this earth go? I mean, I need my own world. You know, it was my wife that blessed me with that ref. It's only Christianity that you are not interested in where you are going. Why? Because you don't even believe you are going anywhere. So you want to now bring the kingdom come. The kingdom come. You want it to come so you won't go. You are going. Forget it. You are going. You are going, no? Jesus tarries 70 years from now, many of us will not be here. Jesus tarries. You know, some of us, we jump immortality thoughts with fear of death. So, I won't die. Because we didn't want to die. We're afraid of dying. That's not how they trap it. They trap it by fellowship. And they will check your walk. How is this guy walking? Is he walking? What is the end of this thing he's saying? He's saying he has fellowship, he's saying. But let's see. You know, God doesn't have to wait till you walk for 5 years to know where you end up. Character is journey. Have your parents ever told you, Boshe, who are you? The way you're behaving, this is where you will end up. Oh. You never heard that before? Ah, you're all good children. My father will come to me and say, you see, I'm not mocking him. It was truth. Say, your life is in your hand. You know, I was one kind child. God, thank God for Jesus. Oh. Say, your life is in your hand. The way you are just squeezing, life is just helping out. He tried to appear, telling me that the way I'm doing now, no be swear, no go better for you. Because the way you are walking, he's showing you where. So God knows that he's looking. So if a person is walking like this, if I don't truncate his development in this pathway, he will end up like this. All character is journey. So that's why they call it walk. Or they call it conversation, because it's an interaction. You walk like this, you walk like this, this is where you end up. So he says, if we say our fellowship with them, we are walking in darkness, we are lying. Now, we are all dark somewhere. Whether you say amen or not, it's true. Don't say amen, but it's the truth. The truth is because we are dark about what you are ignorant of. And the pastor, why I explained that during the Sunday school, he said, there are some things you are foolish around. Abi? And God is not angry at your foolishness. But don't say you have fellowship with him around certain things when you are walking in darkness concerning that thing. Darkness is that you're not cutting his own thoughts pertaining to that matter. So one thing the Lord is doing for us in this season is that he's showing us his own thoughts around that widely used word called love. He's showing us when he says love, what does he mean? Because what Satan did to everybody is that when Satan just took away our dictionary. You know, if you want to confuse somebody, take away his dictionary. Want somebody to remain ignorant, take away his dictionary. If you want somebody to remain ignorant of anything, take away the dictionary. And not only did he take it away, he changed it. He gave us another dictionary. So today, when you hear the word death, the dictionary you open is not the dictionary of the spirit. You open the dictionary that Satan installed. There's a death that everybody knows that is dead. You know there's a death that mosquito self knows that person don't die. Fly. You know, fly will not cause come and land on your eye. But die now. No, don't die. Don't die. But let the person die now. And his eyes open. A fly will come and land on it. Because the fly, this one don't die. I know. Call the flies, this one is dead. But you know there's a death that flies don't know. There is a death that you ISF don't even know. Now, who did that evil? You see, we were not there when that dictionary was swapped. That dictionary was swapped in Eden. When Adam ate the fruit and he took on another dictionary for definition of life and definition of everything pertaining to life. There's what we witness in our day. We are beginning to see the redefinition of marriage. We saw it in our day. Many of them have come over time. Satan is just redefining. So redefine marriage. Check dictionary meaning of marriage 20 years ago and check it now. It's different. When I grew up, marriage was between a man and a woman. Some of my dictionaries even had in holy matrimony, my dictionary. Now today, it's virtually between two persons, a legal contract between two persons. Somebody will go extra to tell you man and man, woman and woman, man and man, 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 they define who the persons could be. So we saw that. So we're saying, now give it 50 years. And that's the only dictionary you have. That will be the definition. So you know, sir, you cannot see why we need to remain in the spirit. Because the only place that all definitions are remaining intact is in the spirit. I started my school. It's a holy school. It's a born again school. All I want, that thing is not designed to withstand Satan. The only place that custodes truth, I'm quoting our daddy, Ren Bushi. Somebody was saying they saw the motto of Harvard. Say, it was to be a missionary school. Satan is bad. Daddy Bushi said, the only place that God has left for the preservation of truth is the church. Start school, Satan will tell it. Start whatever hospital, Satan will tell it. It's only church that is problem, because church is the pillar and the ground of truth. So if you want truth, you come to church. And God has made sure that church will preserve truth. That's why I raise people like our daddy. Preservation of truth. Do you know how sin would have flown under the radar if not for that God raised someone like our daddy? We will not know sin. You'll not be concluding yourselves in some righteousness that is iniquity. Hey, those are things that give me goosebumps. I said, so if I didn't hear this thing now, I would have been thinking I'm okay when I am not okay. You know, when you cannot see what is doing you, you think you're okay. When they say you have scabies on your back. Oh, scabies, you don't want scabies. Let's say you have something like what? Chicken pox on your back. And it's not itching you. You don't know. It's people that are saying, hey, but you don't know. And you'll be thinking you are fine. So every time you wake up, thank God for Reverend, thank God for him. God used him to preserve some certain truths that were almost completely gone. So back to our thoughts. So we want to, what God is bringing to us in this season of charity is his own definition of love, which we did not know until now. It's good for us to know that we don't know it. All right, let's open to 1 John 1:6 and let's look at 1 John 2:9. Thank you. 1 John 2:9. If you can put them, juxtapose them, I won't mind. 1 John. Now, that 1 John 1:6 read, said, if we say we have fellowship with him, that we have fellowship with the light, and we are walking in darkness, said we are lying.
and we're not doing the truth. Now, 1 John 2:9 tells us, 1 John 2:9. Okay, let's do the old-fashioned way. So put your finger in 1 John 1:6. Or if you say, for some of us, it's the same page. Just look at the two. 1 John 1:6 and then 1 John 2:9. 1 John, okay, it's the name in my Bible. It says, 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do what? We lie. And we do what? Not the truth. He said, he that hate, what 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light, or he that saith he has fellowship with him and hateth his brother, is in darkness until now. So they are telling us, around the feast of charity, in the charity company, around the feast of charity, they will assess your degree of fellowship by your relationship with your brother. I cannot say. Now, it's good for this thing to sink, because if it does not sink well, we will be greatly shortchanged, and God forbid, become spots in feast of charity. You know, when people are walking in certain levels of love and you lack capacity, one thing that can come to you if you're not careful is that you begin to say they are being hypocritical. Or you say, what's the answer? It's too much. Those kind of thoughts are not far from people who are not doing well in the feast of charity. That's why you need to hasten. When Daddy was saying last week, be deliberate. Why I say you should be deliberate is that if you don't do it well, you will start becoming angry about people who are doing it. Let us be sincere. Has somebody walked in one kind of love before you say, now, wow, what's wrong with this one, Seth? Has ever happened to you? It has. It has happened to me. And I know I'm not the worst person here. And the devil did not single me out for special dealing. So if he's dealing with me, he's dealing with all of honor. So he brought you that thought. So what's wrong with this one? What's wrong with this one? Calm down, Jare. Now you kid Jesus. Why? Because that person lacks capacity. It's an evil spirit talking. It's an evil spirit, because that person that is having that conversation is in the dark, is in darkness. Now, there's somebody who may be in that degree. He has fellowship with the Lord. And that fellowship, you know, anytime you have fellowship with the Lord, when your fellowship is not just for fellowship's sake, it's not for goosebumps. It is for communication of character. It's for transfer of nature. So that person has had a degree of fellowship that has caused a nature to rub off, that is being shown, being worked out or being lived out in my relationship with my brother. I cannot say I have fellowship with you, with the Lord, and I hate you. I don't need to be a prophet. Now, hatred, we need to go into spirit to have it defined. Because if we stay around the normal dictionary of hatred, you say, I don't hate anybody. I hate no man. I'm just by myself. You have to know what they mean by hatred. Thank God, God used Pastor A.Y. to define it. Hate is to love less. And we all know that our love levels drop. We have to fight to bring it up. Sometimes some people, somebody does something to you, it just drops. You push it up again. That's what you call spiritual warfare. Say spiritual warfare. Praise God. Are we getting the train of thought? I cannot say that I have fellowship with the Lord. I'm so spiritual that I cannot handle your carnality. I'm so spiritual that your carnality will stain me. That means all of us have been staining God since. Sometimes we forget that what they're trying to work out in us is a replication of God's character. So we say many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. It's not shining. It's nature. There's a way you will look that evil spirits will say, this one passed me. Not because you are shining, but because you have a conversation that they cannot tell. Shine or no shine. It's not about shining. Glory. We all like that one because of African people. We like things like that. Because of where we came from. Dibia. And you watch those movies. The guy shine. The feather. Yes. That's not warfare. Your warfare is to maintain that charity. You see, when he comes against you, actually, when he's actually warring against you, he wants your love level with your brother to drop. With your wife to drop. And he will bring multitude of accusations. Hey, nobody can accuse like Satan. Stop trying to accuse. You look like him. Nobody can accuse like Satan. He will accuse and accuse. If there's a word like recuse, he will recuse. Accuse and accuse and accuse and accuse until you find your love level dropping. Then you begin to war. How do you war? Pastor, we did one in February. You pray for the person. You buy gift. Some of us, the reason why we're not keeping offense now is not because we have developed. It's because we like money. You like money. And you say, if I offend her at this one,
offend at this one, offend at this one, and I'll be banking for everybody. I don't offend anybody, nobody offend me. He's offended though, he's lying. That's not how to deal with it. If 25 people offend you and you have instruction to buy 25 gifts, buy 25 gifts. I'm telling you, something will break in you. Sometimes it's not even gifts. I had one recently. I used to tell my wife, I have a love project. She said, I have a love project. And I have somebody I'm struggling to love. This was many years ago. I have a love project. She said, who is this? I say, so person. So yeah, what are we going to do? All right. You have to be deliberate about it. I say, okay. This gallop that I have, anytime I see this brother, it cannot stay. So the first one started. One day we're having a move of the spirit in church. Now one invokes them. I hugged him. I squeezed him. I hugged him. He just started going. Next thing I heard, he called his wife for celebrating birthday. I sent it. I said, I want to send your wife money. I sent it. Before you know it, the thing fizzled out. Now, I prayed once or twice for him too. I did pray. Yes, I did pray too. But I said, that is what you call warfare. It's not binding and loosing. This is maintaining your place in a maintaining your maintain. You know when you are in fellowship with the Lord, when you are with God in His realm, certain things cannot pervade that realm. So anytime they want you to drop your level, they want you to come out of a fellowship. So you are exposed. That's what they call that is the tactic of Satan in a charity company. If all of us here go together, none of us is offended with anybody. Do you know what we look like in the spirit? White. Nobody is looking at any person. It's not, you know those gallop. Who knows what I'm talking about when I say gallop? You know now, don't pretend. Who has had a gallop this week? You just look at her. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? It is your spirit telling you, I have no part in this. You are on your own. And you must not gain mastery of wrestling that thing down. You must respond. That's leading. You know, you want leading to know who. Yes, I know where you went yesterday. No, first of all, I found one place all of us flow in word of knowledge very well. It's people who are offended with us. You know. Don't tell me you don't. You know. You just know. This, I have an ought. There's an ought. There's something in between that is not allowing us to jive. And we don't pay attention to it. So the thing that becomes stronger and stronger before you know it begins a rift. You see, the person that wants rifts is the enemy of charity. Why? Because charity is not just I walk a lot towards you. Charity is a mountain in the spirit that's going to call the Lord down. That if you don't measure up, he won't come. So, quick. I give you the feet of a hind. I bring you hind's feet to walk upon high places that are beyond the thoughts that have kept you down. For says the Spirit of God, there be certain thoughts around things pertaining to this life that have held you down because you have not taken the way out, which is charity. For you see, charity is a conveyor belt to take you from where you are now to another plane of existence. So I tell you, race, come up, be quick, come up and make up that mountain. I am looking for that mountain, that mountain upon which I will descend and bring to you even my judgment, even my standards, even my life, even everlasting life. I am waiting for you to form that mountain, Therefore, I am speaking, and these words will not return to me void. They will accomplish the working of charity in you, that you may measure up even to that standard of existence, and I will come down, and we will have fellowship with one with another, and then the iniquity, even sin will be dealt with. Come up, I hear, come up, raise up, take that commandment, cement that gap with your brother, cement it, you have what it it takes to cement it. I've given you what it takes to cement it. Respond. Respond. See it as the devil. See it as the devil coming between you and life. Being between you and life. He's coming between you and life. He wants you to call death. He wants you to call darkness. But I am come that you have life. Take my life suggestion and live. Yay! Take my life commandment and live, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Okay, pushing ahead. Now, one of the ways that we remain, we think we have fellowship, and we're actually walking out darkness, is when we misinterpret the commandments of God. We take commandments of men as commandments of God. Now, we said commandments of men are what give birth to ways of men. Now, man has his own way of coming to God, that God did not send him. Man has already hewn out a pattern of coming to God, a way. Some of them are even very spiritual. Let me give you one good example. Why is it that the Bible says when you have a gift, you want to bring a gift to God's presence, and you know that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your gift and go and cement. Why? Because the Lord prizes your connection to your brother more than your gift. But you know, all of us, especially me, would rather give the gift. We'd rather give the gift sometimes than cement that relationship. By judgment of Jesus, Jesus is telling you that your connection to your brother is more important than any offering you will give me. There are already thoughts of hatred in the hearts of Cain towards Abel in a measure. I perceive that's why God did not accept suffering. He said there's something wrong with you. People think, you know, if you read book of Bible stories, you check what was there. It was rotten tomatoes, rotten onion, and then Abel brought up. It's not true. It's possible, if I ever heard for understanding, that plants are more weighty than meat. I mean, children of Revelation. Bread went all the way. Meat not at the outer court. Am I speaking over somebody's head? You get? So it wasn't that the offering was low. It's the person. There is a disconnect between you and your brother. I won't take this offering. Do you know how many offerings you have thrown in the sea? I've thrown in the sea. That's in the pain. You know, this man, I'm upset at myself, person that I'm talking. I've just been very upset. What? Waste. Why? Because I chose to come to God with the ways of man. Way of man. Pray. Cut up. No husband and wife. Pray. You are, you know, the Bible is complete. It says, so that your prayers not be hindered. Which prayer are you praying? Then you have rift with your wife. Go and cement that rift. Cement it. That is your project. Until that rift is cemented, there's nothing else to do. Honestly, there's nothing else to do. It's just mercy that keeps us in those times. Now, I'm not speaking as though, me, I've done the same thing. Very well. Just leave me alone. I need to pray. Anger. And then when you feel the anger, when your spirit tells you, guy, you are not doing, you can't come value anything. And people will now think, pastor is in the spirit. Car. Whereas pastor is worrying with his spirit. And the thing comes down. You see, frown. Some of us frown. It's not weight, it's anger. It's just anger. Now, you would rather, at least to men, you would rather pray for 5 hours than tell your wife sorry. Sorry. He said, Kabbalah, sorry. S-O-R-R-Y. It's longer for a soul than Kabbalah for 5 hours. Judgment is not okay. We say we have fellowship with him, but we are hating our brother. He said, you are lying. Say you are in darkness until that time you are praying. If you don't cement it outside that prayer, you are still in darkness. Why do we pray so that we can have energy to do that? If I have issue with my wife, and I'm struggling, I go on my knees. Help me. Because the reason why you're struggling is that there are enemies attacking you. And they're attacking your house. You can't pack a No rift. No, that's what I was saying last week. I said, I cannot afford offense. Not because of my pocket. To imagine, I've seen this thing is a thief. It will steal life. It will steal health. It will steal your children if you're not careful. I said, anything that will want to make me and my wife, I will not argue. Then I find sometimes, you are getting weak. You enter toilet, close the door. Kadamba, urata, uska, I will overcome. I will overcome. You come out. That's why you pray. You think that it's prayer that's getting. No. Hey, God will open our eyes. The reason for your prayer is to obey. You are laboring in prayer so that you can obey. That prayer is not the end. Say, I prayed, it's okay. No! You pray, and then you have not done the thing that they have enabled you to do. You have not completed the cycle. So when we find we don't have energy, pray. Lord, help me. Help me. I need to obey this commandment. Help me. Tell you, if you are truly desperate, Lord, you will see. Then pray for long or pray for short. It's not the issue. It's that this thing, I must obey it. We see that pattern in our mommy Helen. Mommy Helen will stay with commandment. Say, this thing is higher than me. Oh God, you help me do it. I will do it. That is prayer. It's not just praying long just because you want to satisfy your conscience. Ha, what I'm bad, Wale. Now we pray. See me? 5 hours. And we have a respect for all people that pray. Pastor, we respect people where they pray. There's a way we just like it. Pray you. And pray yourself. There was one prayer I had in my school. Beautiful brother. Beautiful, lovely brother. Pray you, they pray. Prayer will be walking on the road. You just see. But one thing I liked about him is that he had a nature to back that prayer. You cannot be around him and not feel that sweet spirit. So I knew that he wasn't just acting. So I just want to. Well, I belong to that generation, and it helped us. You check time. You say, I am not getting up here until I pray for 2 hours. Remember when Nigeria played Argentina, 1996 final. I spent that whole time praying. I said, everybody's going to watch match, and me, I will pray. 3 hours. That's the first time in my life I prayed 3 hours. By the time I came out, all my friends said, come on, lay hands on me. I said, yes. I prayed. Prayer is not for both persons. Prayer is to collect power, to obey a commandment that's higher than me. God knows that you cannot do it by yourself. He knows. That's why he invented prayer. Then commandment of men now made prayer an idol. Somebody who might misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't pray. Do you have commandments you are struggling to obey? Do you have? And you're not praying. You are of all men most deceived. How do you want to make progress if you don't obey the commandments? And how will you collect the energy to obey if you don't pray? You are praying so that you have energy. That's why they say men ought to pray and not to do what? Why is the fainting? It's in the face of commandment. In the face of this, my brother that I cannot love. And I see him gallop, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 5 weeks, gallop. Like, yeah. In 5 days, 3 days, you should be on your knees. Jesus, what is this? This is Satan. This is Satan. I love my brother. And then you receive commandments. Go and buy something. And you go, this rift, I will cement it. Because that rift is not God. That rift is Satan. Now, in a charity company, that thing will be absent. Hey, you're not seeing. That thing will be absent. Those rifts, those disconnections will be absent. He can ride in majesty, victoriously through each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have a little bit of understanding of it. Sometimes you need to be drunk to obey certain commandments. I had somebody I had an issue with, and I had to apologize, and I had no energy. And the Lord showed me mercy. I just staggered up to our honor. I'm sorry. I knew I was drunk. Drunk is not how it is in the spirit. It is to obey. See, everything is because for obedience. Hey, everything is so that you can obey. Everything. You are reading your Bible so you can see what to obey. You are praying so that you can have energy to see what you have written in your Bible to obey. It's all around obedience. To, especially for a charity company, to call commandments of charity. I just staggered up to the lady. Why?
The prophet said wine. They need to doubt. Sometimes you need, that's why they say pray in tongues. Pray in tongues is not just so you can feel good. It's to get yourself doused. So first of all, you may not even see offense. Offense comes, it just bounces back because you are so drunk. And if it comes, it does not stay. Because you are so drunk. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I forgive you. I forgive you. You are forgiven. Forgiven as those. You know what I'm seeing, brethren? I'm rounding up. I'm seeing that kind of company. Eh? It will work in this earth. Hi, Kai. Too beautiful. Too beautiful. Jesus can move seamlessly in our midst. Anywhere there's a disconnect, Jesus cannot jump from you to me because there's a disconnect. But you see, when they said every joint, that which every joint supplies, joint is where I connect with you. Where I connect with you is in charity. If I'm walking toward, I'm in love with you, with a connection. Jesus can move freely in our midst and connect everybody, and then it becomes one indeed. What makes us one is Jesus. But when there's a rift, there's no longer one. It's more than one. As long as it's more than one, behold, these people is one, God said. Nothing shall be withheld from them that they decide to do. Now, we have decided by God's mercy, according to the Lord, that we want to lay hold on everlasting life. Amen? We have decided we want everlasting life in the days of our flesh. He says, nothing shall be withheld from them. Because behold, these people is what? Is one. Genesis chapter 11. So, let us heave this love commandment. Because the issue of loving your brother is good. You must love your brother. Then the mommy now heaved it to loving your enemy. That's a long thing. But it's doable. Let's say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Off. Wait, well, okay, let's just read it. Then we'll jump to Proverbs. Matthew chapter 5. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So, what made us the children of our Father in heaven? Is that we walked through walls? Is that we levitated? Is that we had strength, you see, to do that thing in 44? You must have left some great degrees. You must have left the realms of humanity. No human being loves his enemy. In fact, it was so bad that God even had to give commandments to them in the wilderness. Love your neighbor. Hate your enemy. I give you permission. Hate him. Because if I hear that commandment, all of you will perish. So let me not impute it to you. Hate your enemy. The Jesus that came and heaved it up. But do you know that this thought was actually the original thought that was in God? Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 21. Proverbs 25, 21. Let's see. Proverbs 25, 21. If thine enemy be hungry, this is where, Old Testament or New Testament? If your enemy is hungry, do what? What do you do when your enemy is hungry? Close your door. Now, like I said, don't just look at this enemy as outright enemy. Sometimes look at your brother that has just dropped below the bar of charity, or your bar of charity concerning your brother has dropped. Another time he has a need. I had one brother in my office. He's a brother because he's a believer. And I had one Muslim in my office too. Pastor Bax, this Muslim, beautiful soul. He's calm like you, sir. In fact, I'm just seeing him. Very calm. Very, very amiable. Somebody just wants to be around. This is a Muslim. And then behold, my brother. I had to receive special commandment concerning that guy. I had to receive commandment because, man, it was going to be tough. But thank God for commandment. Command come to make the life, you not lose life in the midst of toughness. So, and then came a day, two of them wanted to borrow money. Now, of course, naturally, you will gravitate to the person who is amiable to you now. But there's a commandment that says, do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. Ah, temptation. I said, I would rather even give this Muslim guy money than lend this one money. Look at the way he's behaving. But I found mercy before the Lord. Ah, commandment. I said, okay, let me give thee my brother. I lent my brother them. I didn't give him more, I lent him. That's as far as my charity could go.
Because, you don't score points for loving people who is easy to love. Say no, there's no points for that one. There are no points for loving somebody that's easily lovable. You score points when the person is unlovable and you are loving. That's where you score points. That's where they mark you very well. Now, that doesn't mean you hate everybody that's lovable. No. You can't even hate them because you just naturally like them. It's not a natural propensity towards them. They are calm. They are nice. They never say the wrong thing. Then you have your brother who is born again, spirit filled, but if he opens his mouth, it's something that you just don't want to hear. And they give you commandment. This is the person you must love. You must love him. Why? Because it's more than just that action. There's the culture of the spirit you are learning. There's also the mountain you are forming in the spirit. You know, the body of Christ is one body, really. You see, it's one body. We're not different from any other Christian anywhere in the world. Mommy said that today. We are not different. We are all the same. You know, Mommy said that when she was running up. We are all the same, especially in the body of Christ. So, if thine enemy be hungry, he says, give him bread to eat. So if he be thirsty, do what? Are we reading together? If he be what? Let's go back, sorry. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Does that not look like what we read in Matthew chapter 5? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Maybe he cursed you yesterday and today he found that he had no bread. And he came hungry. And then he even had the liver to come and ask you after he cursed you. You see, Bible is complete. That's a provision for that one. He said, he did something to make him your enemy. You know, at the time that Jesus Christ was quoting this place, he was speaking in reference to the relationship between the Jews and the Romans. You don't know what that thing is. The Romans, I've given an example before. You are going to Ikorodu. You've entered bus. No bus those days. You are walking to Ikorodu. You are walking from K2 to Ikorodu. You got to mile 12. You met a Roman on the way going to Onekpa. He said, hey, stop, carry this load. He put his load on your back and said, Waka, go to Onekpa. You waka back to Onekpa. Whether you're going to Korea or not, it's not his business. See, that is the kind of environment. Some of us to hell with Christianity. I will never love who? I cannot love that kind of person. He's not lovable. Even God cannot love that person. God will not start to love that person. It was under that atmosphere that Jesus wrote this thing. So I'm saying that's why, you see, when they say pray, this is why we are praying. The love commandment that's going to be, that we're expecting us to measure out, is not something that you can do by might or by power. And somebody says, this is not by might or by power, let me just wait for spirit. No, pray. 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 Ask for grace. Ask for strength to do this thing. Because whether you like it or not, some people are doing it. Some people are doing it. Some people are marking. I can be marked right in this kind of thing. So let me get back to the story. It says, love your enemies. So I described that to the end. It says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Back to Proverbs, please. The next verse. Next verse, 22. For thou shalt do what? We like that one. If at all, I'm going to walk in love to that enemy. You are hungry? You want bread? Take two. My bread is cold. The water is fuel. Well, I will heap coals of fire on your head. Your head go burn. Enemy. Jesus already said it. No problem. Love your enemies. He said, love your enemies. He said, just as described the enemy. He said, he has described the love. He said, if they are hungry, give them water to drink. If they are with them food to drink. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire. Now, you see, commandments of men will give you energy to do this with this interpretation. Because you interpret coals of fire, all of my enemies, all their head burnt. All of them are smelling, suya. Imagine it was like that. So anybody you give bread, you are putting coals. Yeah. It's incense. Next time, you won't try me. You know the part that threw me in this whole verse? It says, and the Lord shall reward thee. I said, how will the Lord reward me for burning people's heads? There must be something I'm not getting in this. Because we all, commandments of men, if you read Bible with ways of man, That's what Pastor was saying. Read Bible with the ways of man intact. You can scriptures can align, but that's a private interpretation because the Holy Ghost did not inspire it. The Holy Ghost can never pitch you against somebody like that. Never. Secondly, if this was the normal order of the day, what are the people that have perceived you as an enemy? That means all of us will be bold. Because some people may have done something that offended somebody. At another point, he loved me less. And then he gave me bread and gave me water. And phew, my head is gone. And then the Lord will reward me. What kind of company is that? That doesn't make sense. That does not make sense. So that coals of fire is not what you are thinking. Isaiah chapter 6. God is looking for partners. God is looking for people that will think like him. I will outthink Satan in all his trappings. You see, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having what? A live coal. Or coal of fire. And what did he do? Which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. Verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said what? Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity. Thine iniquity. Every time you excel in charity, you are putting Satan back. You are partnering with Jesus for the eradication of sin. Did you read? Love covereth the multitude. 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 Sin prides itself in its multiplicity. But says the Spirit of God, love covereth all. Love covereth all. And as many that will turn out a love walk in the Spirit, they partner with me to put iniquity far. Put iniquity far. For the charity company is one that has mastered the art by the Spirit of putting iniquity far. Putting iniquity far. Saving men from their sins. Is that not the name Jesus? Jesus is the one who will save people from their sins. And he says, saviors shall come out of Zion because they are charitable beings, beings of charity, who have learned to use the commandments of everlasting life to put iniquity far. I hear the Spirit, come and partner with me. Come and partner with me in my thinking. Come and partner with me in my thinking. When men rise up against you, can you measure up this kind of purification in the Spirit and put iniquity far from their tabernacles? For every time you walk in love to someone who has hated you, you have truncated the cycle of evil. You have truncated the cycle of evil. Evil has stopped at your doormat and is not moving ahead. It's not moving ahead. It's not multiplying. Therefore, love has covered the multiplicity of that sin. Let's say amen. Washi papa. So charity is not just so we can be smiling. We are at war. You are warring against iniquity. You are warring against sin. Every time you have an opportunity, so you see that enemy in opportunity. Somebody not get that. When somebody's raising his head and you're seeing your love levels drop, you say, okay, let's go to war. Let's go to war. Call out the special forces. All right, let's buy a gift. Let's buy a gift. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. We need to chase iniquity far from this camp. Iniquity must not be found here. Iniquity must not be found here. Why? Because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He is coming. And he will purify his house. How is he going to purify his house? He will use you. Hey, he will use me. When somebody rises up against me, even in our company, and I measure out a love commandment or a love command towards him, I put iniquity far. I purge it with coals of fire. Coals of fire. I put coals of fire on his head to purge him of that sin. Maybe he did something that is even obviously wrong. Maybe this one that's obviously wrong. Yes, even for the obvious wrongs. That's why you need plenty fire. Plenty coal. Give him 4 bread. Give him 8 bread. If I walk in love to the point that he gets angry at you walking in love, after a while he will break. Love conquers all. Iniquity cannot answer love. It cannot. It thrives on you staying in the confines of iniquity. But when you step out of iniquity into the zones of charity and you do fervent, somebody say fervent charity. Somebody say fervent charity. Say fervent charity. Where you make it your life go, you are partnering with Jesus. That's a savior. That's a savior. You are saving people from their sins. Ah, it is as simple as that. It is as simple as that, but as powerful as that. Make up your mind that you will partner with heaven for the eradication of iniquity. When that call touched Isaiah, they said, your sins have been purged. God wants you. So that sometimes when people do those things against you, if you have enough stature in the spirit. Who was sharing it recently? Well, Pastor Tayo yesterday was saying how mommy and daddy Oyogoke have borne with our infirmities. We came with many infirmities. I met daddy with a critical spirit. Daddy walked in love and walked in love and walked in love and walked until that thing broke. That spirit, I was delivered. See that deliverance? It was cast out. Walked in love and walked in love and walked in love. Now, when I don't have the capacity to do that, that's why I'm praying. That's why I'm praying. Lord, help me. I want to be able to, as many that are that have this, you know, some people come with certain issues, and that issue has been a bond or is a bondage over them. And you, they come to you, and maybe they vomit that thing upon you. And you don't even have it. You now go import it, vomit it back. Just because that is what Satan does. Because when they say do not resist evil, say overcome evil with good. Truncate it. Let it end. It comes, let it stop at your doormat. If somebody does one thing to me, let it stop here. I will not do back. I will not reply. I will not give back. Rather, I will respond in love. And if I lack capacity to do so, that's why I will pray. The charity company is the most potent expression of God's power in the earth. Thank God for miracles. Miracles are good. We will have them. Let's say amen. But you see, to partner with Jesus for the eradication of sin, we need to do charity well. If we form that kind of company in the spirit, Jesus will come. Jesus will come. Not the way he has been coming, no. The way he wants to come. There's a way he wants to come in our midst and be so evident that they'll say, "Lo, this one has been with Jesus. This one has been with Jesus." But it will take a charity company to pull down that kind of presence, that kind of audience with God. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So, I want us just to pray one prayer. Where, you know, the charity commandment did not end with February ending. It's a lifelong thing. Some of us did not do that February one well. We know. Can we cry for help? Can you ask the Lord to help you to fulfill this charity commandment in this season? This is why we pray. This is why we labor in prayer. This is why we ask the Lord to help us. This is why we spend time in tongues. It's so that we can have fellowship with him. And if we have fellowship with him and I still have odds with my brother, then my charity work is not complete. Therefore, the mountain has not been formed. Therefore, the Lord cannot come the way he wants to come. Everlasting life is a season of great empowerment where men will walk in charity like they have never done before. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If we are all a charity company and you're not measuring up, the Bible calls such people spots. They are spots in the feast of charity. Say, I don't want to be a spot. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be a spot. When men and brethren are measuring out love commandments, love standards in the spirit, I don't want to be a spot.
Let's pray. We ask for strength. Strengthen us, O God. Give us strength to do this commandment of charity. Lord, we thank you. Oh, help us. You say, ask, and it shall be given. This is our request. The Lord, you will strengthen us. Strengthen us to do this charity. Help us, O God. Help our infirmity. Rid us, O God, of this infirmity. Strengthen us. Strengthen us to do it and do it well. Help us to do charity well. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, as an individual. Help us, O God, as a company. Help us, O God, as a church. Lord, we ask for strength. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ivaja provenia la dosonte le semeria la lasula. Elvido sempro sentia vesiane belse dia sempialte se salve si helpos inisiana handen. Mevo ja pregidisista fushe prestivan endele si alte stibas helpin. Oh, for as many, says the Spirit of God, that in their hearts have come to the desire even to walk in charity, as I am painting even through my servant, even in this season, even the charity that has been described as it is in my heart. As many that will sincerely come to me and look for help, I will help you. I'm on hand to help you, to raise you up in charity. For this is my agenda. This is actually my agenda. It's my agenda that a charity company will be raised even in the earth, where I can land freely and execute judgment, even the judgment, even the judgment destined. Elifotoskimata. I say, come to this level of reasoning. Come and reason with me. Come and reason with me at this height. See charity for what it truly is. It is a high weapon in the realm of the spirit against the hordes of hell. One that they cannot gainsay nor resist. One that they have no answer to. One that they have no answer to. But to deceive people out of that company. For as many as have remained even in the confines of charity, the wicked one will not touch. The wicked one will not touch. Because they are immune. They are immune. They are immune, ready for sealing. Ready for sealing. This is a description of the divine nature. The divine nature that will escape even the corruption that is in this world through lust. As many that are looking for help, I will help you. I'm on hand to help you. There's help. I hear there's help. There is grace. There is grace. For as many that require, there is grace. Grace to do. Grace to cement that gap. Grace to cement that gap. Grace to bridge that gap between you and your sister. Yeah, you and your sister. Yeah, you and your sister. Yeah, you and your brother. There is grace. I'm pouring out grace. Receive the grace. Receive the grace to say sorry. Receive the grace to apologize. Receive the grace to hand in hand move on. I'm pouring out grace. I'm pouring out grace. I'm pouring out grace. 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 Says the Spirit of God.
For this grace that is being given to us, can we just thank God? Father, we thank you. Thank you. It's what we cannot do on our own. Thank you for pouring out grace. Thank you for pouring out grace. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you. Thank you for ability. Thank you for strength to take steps. We give praise to you. We give praise to you, our Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. This prayer must not end here. is something we go back home and ask, continue asking, and continue giving praise. Charity, we must do it well. You see, this thing that is coming to us this season is not as if God, you know, is trying to waste words. No. There is something at stake in the spirit. There is a door that God wants to give to us. But as a church, we must do this thing well. Don't think, you know, the commandment that pastor gave, you know, he wasn't thinking about it. He was up here after the fasting. And the Lord quickened in his heart that we must, you know, husband and wife should do it well. You know, buy a gift to your one another. And brethren, you know anyone that you might not have been offending, but just step out. That is what I perceive in my spirit. There is something at stake. And until we do this charity work, it won't be open to us. It's a commandment as a church and as an individual. We must do it. I don't know about, you know, if it's something, we respond quickly when it comes to, you know, carnal things, something we can relate with. But because we are not, you know, spiritual enough, we don't know what is at stake. Something is at stake, you know, in the natural, when you know that something is at stake, you go all the way out to want to do it. But this one, we need to ask God for strength. God wants to commit understanding to us. He wants to give us life. He wants to give us his thoughts. He wants to give us his judgment. But we must do this charity well. This season must not elude us. There is a season. It's a season upon us. Let us press. Let us press and do it well. Thank you, Pastor. God really used you this morning. You know, he really painted it very well for us to see. That is something we must not joke with. February, we didn't do it well. I don't know about you. I've not done mine well. Maybe you've done yours well. Our prayer is that God, you will help us. You will help us. And he has promised us. He said he has heard. God will help us. We will take steps and we will do charity well. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the Virgin.